go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 61 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. 61, that represents the number of home runs Roger Maris hit 1 year for the New York Yankees, also won Most Valuable Player that year. He ended his career, Roger Maris, that is, with 2 MVP awards and is not in the Hall of Fame. I believe he is one of only 2 players with 2 MVPs who is not currently a Hall of Famer. I actually agree with that decision. If you look at his 12-year career, the numbers, just they aren't there. But we're not baseball historians here, so let's move it along. The B-Man, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the People's Degenerate. Again, I have this tendency to start off being so redundant, but I pride myself as being a porn guy. I do indulge in a lot of porn. It hasn't been a struggle in my life. It hasn't gotten to the point where it's negatively affected my life. I'm always able to keep an erection so far. Here's the thing, though. I've had this eternal conflict. Sometimes I feel like a poser when I tell other porn guys, self-admitted porn guys, that I'm a porn guy, because inevitably, when you tell a porn guy that you're also a porn guy, you start to have a conversation. Usually one of the first questions that comes up is, oh, well, who's your favorite porn star currently or of all time? And here, that's when I start to self-doubt who I am as a porn guy, because I prefer amateur porn. As many of you who have been a follower of Verbal Graffiti know, I am a lover. I actually like seeing real couples have sex. The 4K up close where I could see the inside of your asshole. That really doesn't do it with the perfect lighting. I actually like watching like dorm porn where it's a little dark and you can see like a poster of the New York Giants on the wall, or you see like a dog walk back in the background across the kitchen. Like, I like seeing real sex in real environments, which makes me doubt myself, because when I get asked that question, who's your favorite porn star, and I can't name like, you know, 5 or 10 of the top, you know, current ladies in the business, I feel like a hack, and I don't feel like I'm a real porn guy, especially when I'm talking to a porn guy who could just list those names like bam, 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 like Black Lil Ray or Lena Paul or Violet Myers Again, I don't even know all the names because I've been mostly on the amateur end of porn. So when I can't go name the name with a porn guy, I feel inadequate calling myself one. But I have said probably the last year or so, I have been transitioning more into this normal, like non-amateur, like real porn star porn. So I do know some of the names. One names I do know is, what's her name? Autumn Fall. Sorry for that pause there. I was envisioning her in my head, but I was trying to come up with a name. She's very curvy, Latina. I found also another thing I've been doing. I've been using Reddit for porn. And one thing, those are like 30 second to 30 second clips. So if you just want to pop one off real quick, you're able to do so. One thing about that, though, that I find very frustrating is there's a lot of those clips don't have sound on them. So you have to like click on the link and open it up in a red GIF, which is like another site, and those will have the sound to the video that's on the Reddit. So it's a little frustrating having to go from one to the other. So if any of you know how to get sound on the smut that's found on Reddit, let me know down in the comments. The B-Man, all of us here at Verbal Graffiti would appreciate that, because that is, it's a little tedious having to go from Reddit to Red GIFs. And I don't even know like what the fuck deal is with Red GIFs, if that's going to fuck up my iPhone or not. But anyways, yeah, I've been using Reddit, was watching... This is all culminating in what I was watching last night. I was watching this 60-second smut clip of Autumn Falls, this curvy, bodacious Latina porn star, which is my type. And it was, and I've watched a lot of her videos over the years, but this particular clip, she was very young in it. She was new to porn. She was on top, kind of like a catcher position, squatting down on the wiener, and she had a pink thong on, but pulled to the side, and she was still, like, had the thong on, it wasn't off, so she was squatting up and down on the guy, and I was just enamored with her face, because she hadn't, because if you know, I'm not positive, so this might be slander, but I do think that, Autumn Falls has had a lot of work done on her body. What I mean is like plastic surgery, whether it be like lip injections or, you know, titty implants or some other facial work done. So, but I was watching this clip last night of one of her early porn videos, and it was her probably first year or two of porn when she hadn't been corrupted by the industry that is smut, that is pornography. So when I was watching it, it's odd because it was smut, but it was wholesome because she hadn't altered her body yet. So she still looked like a civilian, like a normie, I don't know, like a non-porn girl doing porn. It was almost like an amateur porn, which I just said that I enjoy more than actually porn. So I just, it was something... I won't say it was Disney, but it was definitely, it was almost like porn you could watch with the family. Like, this was a real lady, not a star of the industry that we know today that Autumn Falls is. And I always do. And I do like that genre of porn. When the lady who's a famous porn star before she became, turned into that, and when she was just kind of like normal, just a horny, just trying to make it in the biz, when she wasn't, you know, a name. There's just something very, very, I don't know, Americana about it. It was almost, I like that. I wish I could see more of that. I want to see more of those videos of Autumn, what the fuck's her name? Autumn Falls. Also found out last night that I was talking about this on stage as well, and a buddy of mine, Ben, told me that she's from Waterbury or Watertown, or she's from Connecticut. Like, she went to high school in Connecticut, Autumn Falls. So there are friends of Ben who know her. So that I'm having that internal monologue to be, man, well, should I DM her and ask her to one of my comedy shows? See if we know anybody in common, try to find an in that way. Because if, you know, yes, I would date, I would go steady with a porn star. Look at this. Of course I would. I think that's enough about her. But yeah, big fan of Autumn Falls, pre and post body work. Keep it up. You helped me out last night. I owe you one. I owe you lots of drinks for the pleasure I've gotten from your work. All right. Moving along. I found this. Let's move on to something more professional. This comes from the subreddit Journalism. I am a 33-year-old woman, and I want to transition into a career in broadcast journalism. Am I too old to enter the field? ? Normally, I'll say 90% of the time, I say, fuck it, leave your current position and go after what you want, regardless of your age. With this one, though, it's a little frustrating, because sometimes when I read one of these Reddit posts, there are so many follow-up questions I want to ask the poster, and I'm not able to do so. The questions I want to ask her are, what are you more interested in? Are you more interested in the journalism or the broadcasting? Now, if it's the journalism, I say go for it. You don't even need to go to school for journalism. Honestly, some of the journalists I follow most on X have no credentials in journalism. And you don't, with the internet today, you don't need to get a degree in journalism. All you got to do is find a subject matter or an event that you're really interested in, that intrigues your mind, and just do a deep dive on that event. Research it as much as you can. Read as many articles, as many books, as many podcasts. Start writing posts, write an article about it and post it to X or in all your social media feeds. And if you have a way with words and you have a way to grab people with the title of your articles on the event that you're interested in, you will gain a little bit of a following, and maybe they'll, you know, relink it, and eventually you'll get enough followers if your work, you know, is worth it, where you can now open up a Substack, which is like a paywall that people pay you per month. It's kind of like OnlyFans, but for journalism, where people will pay you $5 or $10 a month for your content, but it's, you know, journalism. And you could kind of make a living doing that. If you have enough followers, you can just do that full time and really dedicate yourself to journalism. I suspect, though, that you mentioned age, that you're more interested in the broadcast more so than the journalism, because you're concerned about your age, which means you're concerned about your appearance. And yes, when it comes to broadcast journalism, from what I've seen from my research, looks, your appearance and your voice are far more important than your journalism credentials or your IQ or your just overall intelligence, worldly experience in your life. Now, for guys, most, from what I've been told, it's about big faces. If you watch all the late night shows, all the big news, the big guys in news, they all have these huge heads. For whatever reason, big heads, it just looks more handsome on the camera. I have a teeny long head, so obviously I would never be good for broadcast news, but you're a lady, so obviously ask yourself this question. Be honest with yourself. Are you a hottie? Are you a 10 out of a 10? If you are, if you're a babe, you got enough cleavage, you have perfect hair, you have a perfect white smile, you've got an Invisalign, you've gotten your teeth whitened, you know how to do your makeup, you could go toe-to-toe with any 23-year-old in any bar in America, you could strut down any street and turn heads, you got a shot at broadcast journalism. Give it a shot, give it your best. Chances are you're not a 10 out of a 10. Just 10 out of 10s are hard to be. It's hard to be a 10 out of a 10. So you're behind the eight ball in that regard. You're going to have a tough uphill struggle. And as a 33-year-old, you're about to hit the wall, as they say in the red pill sphere, which means you're probably, if your aspirations are to be a national broadcaster, that's not going to happen. You're too old. You're going to be too crusty by the time you get into reps to ever get on Good Morning America with what's that football player's name? Michael Strahan, New York Giant. Is that Good Morning America? You know, those morning shows, those national morning shows where they get paid millions and have millions of followers and are famous. You're not going to get there. So if that is your aspiration, shut it down right now. Go get blackout drunk and just forget that you ever wrote this Reddit post, because that's not going to happen. Now, if you're okay just being a local broadcaster for your local news station, whatever metropolitan area you reside in, you can do it. You can do it. You gotta curtail what your aspirations are. Like, you're not going to get in one of the top 10 markets in the country starting out as a 33-year-old. That is not going to happen. Now, I don't know why you'd want to be a local broadcaster, like local news broadcaster. When I watch local news, it's very sad. It's very disheartening. I'm using the word disheartening too much, but I see, like, local news are where dreams go to die. When I watch local news, it's two broadcasters who had aspirations of being a national broadcaster, but they don't have the talent or the appearance to ever get there. So they're stuck in, you know, New Haven County News, Connecticut, and that's, they never bust through that ceiling. There's nothing more depressing than seeing a guy who's on local news. It's the same network for 15 plus years. And there's always that tension too, right? There's always that tension. It's the guy and the gal who have been there for 20 years. They're local legends. But then, like, the hot 23-year-olds, where it's a babe or a stud, they come in and they have aspirations to become national. And the old-timers, the local legends, look at them and they got to think, they got to see the failure in themselves, in those young hotties, because they were once those young kids with the aspirations and they never reached those stars. So it's just got to eat them alive on the inside. Hey, as a stand-up comic, as a 40-year-old still trying to make it, I see a lot of 23-year-olds who are funnier than me. And so I understand that feeling, although I do think I'm an original, so it doesn't really eat me up on the inside because I really do enjoy the content that I put out. But that dynamic is very, very, in the local broadcast arena, is very, man, it's a hard pill to swallow if you've never got to where you want to be. And you're past the age of really striving for the national broadcast, so is that really what you want? Like, yeah, it's cool to be a local legend. Like, it's cool to get recognized when you're out and about. It's fine and dandy, but you're not going to be recognized by the people you want to be recognized by. Like, you. Let's say you get into broadcasting. You're a 33-year-old babe. You're kind of known in the community because you're on the 6 o'clock news every night. So you go to your local grocery store. You go to Stop and Shop. It's not going to be the Chads who are trying to hit you up. It's going to be all the dirt bags and the hornballs that are on the sexual offender list. Those are the people who are going to be stopping you to take a picture and trying to get your number and your social media. The degenerates are the ones who are going to be enamored with you, not the upstanding citizens. So that's really, if you want the fame, and I get that sense that you want the fame that comes with broadcast journalism, it ain't the fame. The fame you want is not the fame you're going to get if you really, you know, dip your toe in this industry. It's always like I look at local broadcast journalism, and I just get bad vibes. I don't want to use the word ick, but nobody, is that really what you want to be? You want to be in the seat. You got to understand, you don't get to choose your partner. If you start a podcast, you can choose your best friend as your partner, but when you're doing, like, when you're on your local news station, the producers, the executives, they're the ones who team you up with a guy. It's usually like a guy and a gal. And the guy, dude, you really want to be sitting next to that guy for 15 years? Like, he's every day, he's wearing an off-the-rack suit from Macy's. He's wearing his tie that he got from Marshall's. His breath is always going to reek of vodka because, he didn't make it to where he wanted to in the industry. So he's just drinking himself to death. And everyone from the executive to the producer to your co-host is going to be sexually harassing you on a weekly basis. Because, again, even though you haven't hit the wall yet, or even if you do hit the wall, like, you're still kind of hot, so, and guys are dogs, so we're going to sexually harass you. That, to me, that's not the environment I want you to be in. I don't, when you really think, if you are listening to me right now, I think you'll come to your senses and not pursue this. The reason why, transitioning here, the reason why I read this particular post in journalism is because football's starting, and I'm fascinated with football reporters and sports reporters in general. Now, let me get more specific. I am fascinated with the very attractive young female sports reporter. Because when I see her, my initial thought is that, well, she's got to be fucking the athletes. That's how she got the position. That's how she's getting the inside stories. And all these reporters will claim, no, I'm not sleeping with any of the athletes. But somehow they always end up marrying a professional athlete. How does that happen? Because they're fucking the athletes. This has happened, right? I'm not the only one who sees a hot sideline reporter who's interviewing an NFL quarterback or a college quarterback, and she's giggling, she's playing with her hair, she's touching the guy on the shoulder, the shoulder pads. Like, she's trying, it's like, okay, how do you feel you played in the first half? Oh, I went real well. You know, we got to throw the ball more. I thought we made some progress. We need to do better on third down. And as soon as the cameras are off, she's trying to get his contact info so they could fuck in the hotel room after the game, right? That's happening. Those hot female reporters are only getting that job because they're young, they're hot, and they're attractive, and they probably got their degree from Syracuse. And it goes both ways, too. The guys, like the ex-athletes who get those broadcasting roles, they only get them because they have the square jaw, the perfect amount of, facial hair, the perfect hair that's not receding. Again, broadcast journalism, it's all about your appearance, how hot you are. And I'm okay with that because when I turn on my TV or my streaming network, I want to see hot babes, attractive men, handsome men. I see too many uglies and potatoes in the real world. So the TV world, that's for make-believe hotties. But for these babes who are saying, no, I got this job because of my credentials. I worked super hard to get there. Well, maybe you did work hard, but don't act like your looks had nothing to do with it. Because that 90% of it was your appearance got you in the door, got you the interview, got you on the field to interview the athlete that you somehow amazingly marry. It's amazing how that happens to almost all of these female reporters. Let's go look at some photos. Who am I, the B-man, to be criticizing any porn star, a lady in the smut world for altering her body the way she wants to? I apologize to all the ladies in the smut out there. I'll watch your videos regardless of whether you have had your body altered or not. I shouldn't have done that. Again, I was just trying to be funny. I'll watch your videos regardless. Whether you want to take fat from your butt cheeks and put it into your lips, or fat from your belly into your boobies, or do something else with your skin and pull it back to look younger, forever young, from here until the day we die. I support you, whatever you want to do. Autumn Falls, what a babe. What a babe. I should do a segment. Previous segment, I was talking about sports reporters. I should do one where I rank the top 10 hottest babes sports reporters going today. That would probably involve way too much research for my liking, so that's probably never going to happen, but maybe I will. Maybe. I don't know. There'd be a lot, because I'd have to do everything with categories and a scoring system and kind of do from high to low and reasoning for where I rank each reporter. It's so much more easier with smut, because with that, the rankings as well, I watch more of her videos than hers. That's why she has a higher ranking, whether it's Autumn Falls or Violet Myers or Alex Starr or Haley Rose or... There's a lot more. We got to keep it going. I just can't spend an entire episode listing ladies in smut that I admire, whose work I admire. So let's get into this next segment. Comes from... Oh, if you're wondering why I'm wearing a vest, one of my favorite shows, the first three seasons anyway, was was Peaky Blinders. I liked the way the guys dressed in that television show. I liked the vest, the fashion, so I'm trying to replicate it with how I dress. All right, into this next segment. Found this one on the subreddit for scams. How to have an intervention for my aunt who is addicted to a scam online boyfriend. Has given 25K so far. Okay, let's see if we can help. My aunt found a guy on FB, I believe that's Facebook, a few years back after her divorce. He had some ridiculous backstory like being a retired American general living in the Middle East. She started sending him money when he complained about having issues with the VA or something. Then she dumped him and suddenly a new guy popped up who shared all her interests. The one she had told the general. Same cycle starts up again. She dumps him and now tells me that one of the actual members of the Rolling Stones is talking to her online. She loves the band. It's wild. The whole family is planning a big confrontation with her. So far, I have been able to prove little. I'm hoping to talk to someone who is an expert in this and can help me, one, gather evidence, and two, anticipate what will happen if she cuts off contact with he, them. Should I reach out to a PI, or is there a better resource out there? Well, lucky for you, there is a better source for you for this, and it's the B-Man, Brian Glass, and all of us here at Verbal Graffiti. Do not hire a private investigator. Now, I actually, my day job, I do a little bit of investigative work, not this type of investigative work. The best strategy for this one is let's talk it out as a group. I know it's just me, but pretend we're all here. We're all in a circle sitting crisscross applesauce. Back in the day, it was Indian style. But let's talk it out. How should we handle this? First of all, I have the talking stick, so I'm going to be doing the talking first. I want to point out the positives, because there are a few positives with this. Number one, well, just the obvious. Let's point out the obvious is your aunt is lonely. She's heartbroken. She was divorced a few years ago. I'm just going to guess she was probably married for quite a long time, and now she's alone. She's seeking out love and affection. She's not the only one. She's not the only lady or gal or guy who's gone online and gotten catfished into a fake relationship and lost a lot of money. The positives are, though, that she hasn't lost all her money. Yes, she's lost $25,000, which is quite a hefty number. That would certainly hurt me if I lost $25,000, if I had $25,000 to lose. So that's a lot of money, but it's not all of her money. So that's a positive. Another positive is there's been more than one of these men. So that's a positive, because there does come a point where she dumps the guy, which means she does have enough self-confidence in herself to be willing to dump a stranger and be willing to, you know, go back out into the internet and find another, you know, fake boyfriend. So that's a positive. Another positive is that she's being open with you about this. It seems like you have enough communication with your aunt, and she's being open enough with you to tell you about all these online relationships she's having. So these are all positive, and there are plenty of families out there who do not have these elements present, because there are a lot of aunts, uncles, family members, you know, who've lost a spouse or have gotten divorced, who get online, they think they're in a loving relationship, they lose all their money, so you have nothing left for your inheritance, so you get no money, and they're too embarrassed to tell their family, so they keep it a secret, and you don't find out until either the person, you know, offs himself or, you know, dies of natural causes, that there's no money left for you because she gave it to some some guy in Russia named Vladimir, who was very good with computers and hacking and faking being a Chad for a lonely lady here in the U.S., which it was saddening. I have a story. Actually, this is a real story. I have a friend of mine, I won't name him. He had a colleague, a coworker, works for the state, who bought a Russian bride, right? They never met, bought her online for $10,000, or was it? Yeah, let's say it was $10. It was a hefty price. So $10,000, guy showed up at the airport. The Russian bride never got off the plane. He was scammed $10,000. How embarrassing is that? Had to go back to, like, he was bragging to all his colleagues that I bought a bride, I'm going to get married. Then, you know, he takes a week off for the marriage and honeymoon, comes back, and like, oh no, it was a scam. I'm out $10,000. Honestly, I wouldn't go back. Dude, if I got scammed from a fake Russian bride, I'd tell my family, let's go out in the woods and off me like I'm the old Yeller, because your life's over after that. But hey, it's a positive. This is not your aunt. Like, this is not, your aunt's not calling you from the Philippines crying, tears rolling down her face going, please, please, can you buy me a flight back home to the U.S.? I just lost all my money and I can't afford a flight because I got scammed from some guy named Vladimir and he never showed up and I got huckstered and please, I need money. You're not in that situation. Your aunt still has money. She's still communicating with you. So these are all positives. Now, for confronting your aunt, like having your whole family and friends get together to confront her about her actions, it's not going to work. I've never watched the show Intervention. I know many people who have, they rave about it. Interventions are great for TV because it's great for the drama, but I just can't, it can't be good for the addict. Anything I've ever heard from drug addicts or any kind of addicts is you don't change your life until you want to end the addiction. Until you feel you've hit rock bottom, like nobody's going to be able to help you. So the intervention, it's going to be a dog and pony show. She's going to tell you, okay, I'm going to change. I know there's this guy, the Rolling Stones member, Mick Jagger. He's not talking to me. I promise I won't talk to him ever again. Here's what's going to happen. You're all going to be great, good, problem solved. Nope. As soon as you leave, she's going to get back on the computer, back on her phone, and start talking to a new guy and start giving him money after he hooks and lines her in. That's just because she's into it, man. She's addicted to the rush. She's addicted to the hack boyfriend roulette. She loves lust. It's not intimacy. She loves the lust, the new relationship butterfly feelings. She's addicted to that. No confrontation with her, you know, with her nieces and nephews, like that's not going to end it. What we have to do, okay, let's start game playing now. We laid out the scenario, and we're not doing confrontation. We've named all the positives about her situation. We need to play some chess. We need to outflank your aunt. Your aunt, let's be honest, she ain't super smart. So we can outsmart her. What we're going to do is we're going to make an online account pretending to be Ringo Starr. We're going to pretend to be Ringo Starr, formerly of the Beatles, and we're going to start contacting your aunt online and start forming a relationship with her without telling her that Ringo Starr is us. So you're going to start love bombing your aunt as Ringo Starr, and you're gonna pretend, oh, let's go to vacation to Hawaii, to Bali, to south of France. Tell her that you're gonna buy her handbags and a new Corvette, and we're gonna get a puppy together and name her Molly, and start sending her photos of engagement rings and start talking about what cut and size she wants. You're just gonna love bomb the fuck out of your aunt so that she dumps the Rolling Stone fake band member and starts dating us, Ringo Starr. And then here's the key though. We hook her thinking that we're Ringo Starr. Do not tell her. Do not tell her after you've fooled her that you made a fake account. Just because if you tell your aunt, like, hey, we made a fake account to fool you, to let you know that all these fake accounts are coming after you for money, she's going to disown you because she's going to be so furious, so embarrassed that she's going to excommunicate you and just cut off communication with you completely. And that is the last thing you want to happen. So you don't tell her. What you do is you take money from her. You take her for everything she's worth. And again, you do not tell your aunt that you're stealing her money. You just keep it. So you keep her money. She gets broke. That way she has no money to give to the next boyfriend once she gets bored with Ringo Starr of the Beatles. And you take the money that you stole from your aunt and you pay her bills, whether it's her rent, her food, her electricity, whatever she needs, you pay her. As long as you're in charge of all her friends, all her funds that you stole from her, and you give her like a monthly allowance, they still have no money to give to other scammers. So she's safe in that regard. And you never tell her that you're the one who stole all her money. And then when she dies, whatever money is left, you split it evenly between all the family members and problem solved. So you outsmarted your aunt. You allowed her to continue to play the game of online hack lust roulette. And you just take control of all of her money so that she doesn't give it all away. This is the perfect plan. Thank you very much. Just pay me $2,000 for my service. That's a lot less money than a private investigator would charge you. So thank you very much. My email address is brian.glss@gmail.com. Or Venmo me at brian-glass-10, the number 10, 10. That's my Venmo, I think. You're welcome to your aunt, to you and your entire family and everybody else. Go suck a fat one.